You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 with Gary Capewell, Mick Norton and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Ayr and Worcester on Monday afternoon, Ripon and Windsor in the evening on the domestic front, and we also have a card over in Ireland on Monday night as well from Roscommon. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Mick Norton. Hi, Mick.
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good man. We'll start with a little bit of a look back at Saturday and the fallout from the eclipse in particular, and then we'll move on to Monday's racing. Good Saturday, wasn't it, Mick?
It was. Some really good performances across the cards, and I suppose the highlight being the eclipse and first blow to the three-year-olds.
Yes.
And
it was a three-year-old 1-2 as well, wasn't it?
It was.
It wasn't just one good three-year-old.
Though. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sort of had it between them as well, didn't they? Probably you could say the ground was gone against time test. He's still run a good race, but he's a very good yardstick for the race, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the ground probably was just what put paid to him in the end.
Yeah.
Good performance from Hawksbill, who's now six in a row wins, the latest of them obviously being in the Eclipse Group 1 prize there. The Gurkha, I thought, ran with credit, didn't lose anything in defeat there. Came upside Hawkbill and battled away, but every time he got anywhere near, it just seemed that Hawkbill just pulled out a little bit more.
Yeah, he's had a couple of hard races, hasn't he, the Gurkha? Maybe that scrap he got into at Ascot maybe took a little bit of the edge off of him. And, you know, any chink in your armour at Group 1 level is found out.
Yeah, certainly.
I wouldn't rule out the Gurkha winning a big pot before the end of the year. Something like the Irish champion, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, even in that race, he didn't get quite the look he needed early on and got lit up a little bit earlier on.
They started calling him names already, haven't they? And, you know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently, as well, on the back of that, Aidan O'Brien saying he's thinking about going back to a mile. Well, it sounds like he's going to go back to a mile with the Gurkha, which did surprise me a little bit, because I thought he saw every yard of that mile and a quarter.
He did stay it, but I know what he means, because he travels well, and you could sort of let him bowl it over a mile, couldn't he? He's hit very handy over a mile and maybe get first run on them.
Yeah.
And then put his, you know, proven stamina to good use, if you like. Because, you know, apart from Galileo Gold and the three Guineas winners, if you like. Well, he's one of them, isn't he? They're not going to run into each other all the time, are they? So it could be a good move.
So you're with the drop back in trip?
I never mind dropping them back in trip, Mark.
Okay. Talk about the winner as well. Just potential targets for Hawkbill. Apparently they're thinking international or Irish champion, going to stay at a mile and a quarter for now, but Charlie Appleby does think he'll get further in time.
I agree. I think that when he does step up to a mile and a half, we'll see him at his full potential, won't we? He's got a very interesting pedigree, hasn't he, Hawkbill? And he's just never stopped improving. And he's got a great attitude as well. It was a good day for Exolfin, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Hawkbill, by the way, 4-1 for the international, does need to be supplemented, but 4-1 market leader at the moment. There.
Yeah, he looks a likely type for the Champions Stakes, doesn't he? That could be a good long term target. If not, you know, I mean, even they might think, well, let's bite the bullet and see if he does stay a mile and a half and go for the arc.
Yeah, yeah. Could be a really warm arc this year, couldn't it? As well, if we get the Derby winner Harzan turn up, and you could have the good Ballydoyle filly. Minding turning up as well. It could be a real warm arc. Although I suppose it always is, isn't it? You don't get a bad arc, do you?
No.
Good day for Godolphin, as you mentioned there, Mick, as well. Good day for William Buick as well, because he's going to start a 30-day ban. Good way to sign off for that, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not the brightest thing to sort of be rude to the French stewards, is it? They're tetchy enough.
Ill-advised.
Tetchy enough for the best of times, aren't they? Yeah. I don't think you're going to win that battle, are you? So he's got basically what he deserves, but he couldn't have gone out on a higher note, could he?
He couldn't. Also, Godolphin won a big prize at Haydock, didn't they? They won the Lancashire Oaks.
That was, considering this filly won a handicap of 76, not that long. So, I mean, she's a mammoth advert for a sire, isn't she? Just what a sort of late developer and a great advert for See the Stars.
Yeah.
And, she's a Group 1 filly in waiting now, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Especially around these sort of trips. And, again, she's got a great attitude because she had to, she had to change her momentum after getting a little bit nicked up, didn't she? And I thought that she showed a really good attitude in winning that.
That's Endless Time, by the way.
Endless Time,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Endless Time. Yeah. Who won the Lancashire Oaks. Toddier winning the Old Newton Cup as well, Mick. Always a competitive race. It was a bit of an interesting Old Newton Cup, really, because they were in two groups. And it looked for a while like Snow and O was going to win, travelling the best of them. But got swamped at the end. And it was Toddier who came in front ahead of Gold Prince and Desert Encounter in third. Snow and O ended up fourth.
Yeah, the first three all came from off, didn't they? Whereas Snow and O had been in the van the whole way, and I think that contributed to the to them being able to just over the top in the last furlong. But it was still a good run by Snow and O, and there's a good pot in him before the end of the year as well.
Mm. Anything else on that to you, Mick, on the Saturday?
It was great to see Old Hoofit back in the winner's enclosure, wasn't it?
Yeah.
His owner had a good day in France in the... in the French Open, and that'll have made his evening meal even better last night. He'll bound to have had a few quid on him, won't he? Lee Westwood, he can't resist it.
Yeah.
And great to see him back. You know, winning off 91 at the age of nine. It's a great testimony to his toughness, isn't it?
It is. Shall we leave that there, Mick? Shall we get stuck into Monday?
Yeah, why not, Mark?
Yeah.
That's in the past now, isn't it? We can only look forward.
Yes. Mick's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Monday. We're going to look at some of the racing at Ayr, Ripon and Windsor. We start at Ayr in there, 4:25. This one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over five furlongs. And we've got a field of 80 a mix, so it could have a nice each-way shape to the race. But what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. The race, there are various reasons. I'll go through them in race card order anyway. Lexington Place, the likely favourite from the inform. Ruth Carr Yard, he's got a good... course and distance record here, bids for course and distance win number 3, and comes here on the back of a good win a couple of weeks ago. Ruth's horses remain in tremendous form. The only thing I could say on the negative side, that he has found this mark beyond him in about five previous goals off 88-89. He's found it beyond him.
Yeah.
And he's in here off 88 against a couple of informed rivals. So, well, again, got questions. My name is Rio, won at Beverley on Saturday. He's got form here.
Won this race last year.
He won this race last year, and he will probably come for it. I mean, his penalty takes him to 10-1, which, again, is a bit of a concern. But... although he's got to post a career best, he has won off 89 and he's off 91. And with the question marks over Lexington Place's, you know, abilities, these back, we know My Name Is Rio's close. Mm. And he showed a really good attitude at Beverley. One with a bid in hand, and coming back here for another crack at this. I was looking for reasons to oppose him, Mark, with, you know, with 10-1, but to be honest, I've ended up with him. The 3-year-old Dark Defender, Keith Agley's trained Joe Fanning rides. He's yet to win a handicap, but he did run well in the first time visor last time. But I think he's got no easy task against some tough older sprinters here. So despite the steady of 10-1, it's not a huge field, so it might not be that difficult to carry that burden. I'm going to stay with My Name Is Rio.
My Name Is Rio, then, for Mick in the 4:25 at Ayr. To Windsor next for their 7:35. This is a Class 3 handicap over five furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. It's a qualifier for the Windsor Sprint Series final. Big field here as we get in these kind of races. 14 of them, Mick. And, well, it's tricky, isn't it? It's going to be one of the more open races of the day.
It is. Well, I took Ruth on in the Ayr race, so I better get back in her good books here and go... with Foxtrot Knight to again, he likes it here. He's back to within a pound of his last win. Run well on both starts, and He looked poised on only his second start of the season at Hamilton last time. He travelled, well, he travelled like the winner most of the way, just ran out of puff a little bit up the hill. He'll be ready now. And I'm sure he's going to go well back here at a track. He does relish. But as you say, it's got a wide open look about it. Marmalade is interesting. She won on her first start for Robert Carl back in April. Was missing then until a month ago when she did disappoint back there. The fact that she could win first time out suggests it wasn't the absence that was the problem. Maybe she was just in season or something. I think she's a player here if she's strong in the market. And the other one is Major Pusey, who's really hit a rich vein of form. Career best required for the set £4 higher mark and no £3 claimer, which he's had on for the last two wins. Michael Murphy's ridden him the last two wins, taken off the three. Martin Lane rides here with no £3 claim. Just factor that in, but I still think that is the major danger to Foxtrot Night. One for the players' pots or whatever is Lucky Beggar, who is difficult to win with, but did show signs at Newmarket last time that he might be able to get into the place money again. I like it when Richard Kingscourt teams up with Charlie Hills, and he's a horse I like, Lucky Beggar, but he is frustratingly difficult to win with, but often rewards players only bets. So yeah, Foxtrot Night for Ruth Carl at Morris.
Foxtrot Night then, Fomic in the 7:35 at Windsor. The 7:45 at Ripon is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. This one's for the three-year-olds, and I suppose we could start with Knight's Table Mick, who has been improving and got the win at Ayr last time.
Yeah, you just wonder whether this mark, this is his handicap debut of 79. It did take him long enough to win a maiden, didn't it? But he is lightly raced on turf. He's had, well, three of his six have been on the Tapita. And I just wonder if he's too close to Street Jewel, who we know is his handicap mark is fairly sound, judging on that run at Kempton last time. Admittedly on the poly track, but he has got form on the turf. And I just think he's too close to Street Jewel, who looks as though this stiffer stamina test will suit. He's got plenty of stamina in the pedigree. He's a half-brother to Arctic Cosmos, who was a St. Ledger winner. So expect a prominent ride from Franny, and I think he'll just outstay them. And I do think his mark looks okay. And I just, because that was, you know, that mark is that close fourth in, only beaten two lengths in that Kempton race last time, which is a very competitively run race, and he did quite a bit of the donkey work that day. It might be easier to dominate these than it was at Kempton. We shall see, but I do think that Street Jewel is the most likely winner. Keep an eye on Archimist. Michael Murphy comes here instead of riding his old pal Major Pusey at Windsor for Charlie Hills. Archimist won here. And she's still on a fair mark if she does stay, Archimist. Another good run last time at Nottingham, where she kept on really well off a mark of 75. Went up two for that, so she's just creeping up for that extra second. But you know, she's not. That wouldn't rule her out. I think the key thing is if she's going to stay this at the longest trip she's tried by a quarter of a mile so far. So, basically, I just expect Street Jewel to jump off, make all, and outstay them.
Okay, Street Jewel then for Mick in the 7:45, and the 8:15 at Ripon is where we finish. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of eight here. Mick, start with Dutch Uncle, if we may, who was last seen in the Investec Mile, which is more difficult than this.
Yeah, and I don't think he handled the track all that well, did he? And if we put a line through that, he comes here with good credentials. My only concern is that, as we saw, we're into July now, Mark, so that, you know, the three-year-old weight for age scale from a mile upwards really does kick in now. And there's three informed three-year-olds down there lurking towards the bottom of the handicap. And with the weight for age of £11, he's giving them weight. I just thought it might rest between the three horses, although this is probably Dutch Uncle's, probably his easiest task to date, even taking out that win.
Yeah.
It depends how the three horses perform. Montserrat, we'll start with him. Franny Norton again for Mark Johnson. A trip and ground were against him last time. I think this is more like it. Knows how to win this horse. Won three of his five at two. And the evidence is that he won't be long before he's visiting the winner's enclosure at three. Hydro makes a quick reappearance after finishing fourth at Sandown on Saturday and did well to finish so close, only beating a couple of lengths, considering how keenly he'd run in the first half of the race. And he's a definite player, if none the worse. But I'm going to give the vote to Carnaggio, trained by Richard Fahey. Paddy Mather's taking the ride. And I think the race came too soon last time. Bolted up here at the beginning of June. Went to Haydock a week later. I think that race came too soon. I'm going to put a line through that and expect Carnaggio to get back to winning ways in the 8:15.
Carnaggio then for Mick in the 8:15. And let's just have a little bit of a summary then, Mick, before you go. If you'll just spin us through your selections in a nice little summary.
Yeah, and the 4:25 at if we'll go through them in time order. My name is Rio, but into supplement is Beverly Gaines in the race he won last year. And I think he's got a great chance of doing so as well. At Windsor, we've got that very competitive looking 7:35, but Foxtrot Knight likes it here, and he looked at Hamilton last time as though he was knocking on the door, and maybe you can push it open here in this 7:35 for Ruth Carr and Luke Morris. And our final two races at Ripon Street, Jewel will probably be able to dominate his rivals from the front under Franny Norton in the 7:45. And Carnaggio, I think we're going to forgive him that slightly disappointing run at Haydock last time after bolting up here the time before. I think the race came just too soon after only a week. And this is a good opportunity to get back to winning ways.
Superb. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
Mick will be in the studio on Monday. He'll be joined by Gary Capewell and Paddy Aspel. We've got meetings at Ayr and Worcester in the afternoon, Ripon and Windsor in the evening, and we'll take in the Irish action as well from Roscommon. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.